Amen. 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 He is the sweetest name I know. Thank you, Brother Snyder. It's our privilege to have with us Brother Lonnie Mattingly again tonight and one more night tomorrow night. Hope you'll be here for the service tomorrow evening. We're very grateful and thankful for the way God has used him through the years there at Shawnee Baptist for 37 years. And one of the things that's always been outstanding in the life of Brother Mattingly is he has been a soul winner. And witnessing and winning people to the Lord and concerned about folks getting saved and challenging his people in the church there to be soul winners and to share the gospel. And many people have come to Christ as a result of his witnessing, as well as the testimony and ministry of the church there. And we're delighted that he can be here with us tonight. You listen carefully as he comes and preaches to us this evening.
Well, it's quite an honor to be here tonight, and what a good group. This is a great Tuesday night crowd. Now, tomorrow night's last night. It's Wednesday night, and by the way, if you brought three or more people tonight that were not here last night and they came at your invitation, or they haven't been here Sunday or Monday, you see me after the service and let me know that, and I'll give you your choice of one of these Bible songs for kids. It's sung by a children's choir, little kids. And it's orchestrated, beautifully done, and I'd like to give those away before I leave here this week. And so please do that. And then I also encourage you to stop by the tables. There's some good information out there. Matter of fact, on the Snyder table out there, there's a couple of items that children could get for their parents for only about a dollar for their mother, I think. Mother's Day is coming Sunday, you know. And so you might want to check that out, just see what's there. And kids like to do things. And, you know, sometimes we preachers, we go over the line a little bit with enthusiasm. Dr. Tom Wallace was preaching down in Louisville, Kentucky, when he pastored there at Beth Haven. And one day he got just a little bit more upset about some matters, and he said some things pretty harshly to the people, and he got feeling bad about it while he's preaching. You don't understand what all goes through a preacher's mind while they're preaching. And so he got to get feeling bad about it. And everything. When he finished the sermon, when things were over, he said, folks, just before we dismiss, before we have prayer and go home, he said, I just want to tell you, I want to apologize for maybe being a little bit more, sounding more angry than I should have. And he said, I didn't mean anything by that. You know, I was just trying to get a point across. And he said, I hope you'll forgive me. And they had prayer dismissed. He went back and he was standing at the door shaking hands with people as they came out. One little old lady came up to him and she said, now, Dr. Wallace, you don't have to apologize to us. We don't ever pay any attention to anything you say. And I'm afraid that's the problem. They've got too many people just not paying any attention to any. And so I want you to, on purpose tonight, pay attention. I want you to zero in. I mean, I know you had this rough day at work. I know you had a tough day at school. I know you're facing things when you get home tonight. Wonder how things are going to work out, maybe in some relationship or situation. But if you would, please, allow the Word of God to do a work in your heart and in your life tonight. I'll tell you about this one couple. I'll just tell you this real quick story I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell it last night when I was talking about how that R.A. Torrey gave a prescription for revival. Every time I think about that, I think about this pharmacy. This lady went into the pharmacy, and she said, you can't think about a prescription without thinking about it. We talked about it tonight while we were eating supper. We talked about the prescription card, get prescription. But anyway, he went into the pharmacy, and he said, the lady did, and she went over to where the pharmacist was, and she said, I'd like to buy some arsenic. And he said, arsenic? He said, man, that's poison. What are you going to do with arsenic? And she said, I'm going to poison my husband. He said, wait a minute. You can't do that. That's against the law. Number one, I can't just sell arsenic. But number two, if you did that, you'd be a criminal. You'd go to prison. I'd go to prison if I sold it to you, knowing what she's going to do. I'd lose my license. If I ever got out of prison, I'd never be able to practice my trade again. There's no way. I'm not doing it. She reached in her purse and pulled out a picture. And it was a picture of her husband with the pharmacist's wife in an expensive restaurant having a romantic meal together. Pharmacist took that picture and said, you didn't tell me you had a prescription. And he's ready to go now, you know. And, hey, one other thing here. I got some on my phone. People send me stuff, and you can tweet me if you want to, but I like my cell phone, and let's see if I can find it here. I thought, yeah, here it is. I thought this was pretty good. I was thinking about, you know, Baptists love to eat. I talked to you about that last night. And just a little story here. The young man, he said, yes, I did go to school. He said, our teacher, I've got to blow it up here just a little bit where I can read it. My eyeballs are not like they used to be. And he said, our teacher asked us what our favorite animal was. And I said, fried chicken. Well, she didn't think I was very funny. But she couldn't have been right because everyone else in the class laughed. My parents told me to always be truthful and honest. And I am. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened. And he said, my teacher was probably a member of PETA. And he said, they love animals very much. Well, I do too, especially chicken and pork and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me down to the principal's office. Some of you guys ever been to the principal's office, you know what that is, you know. You probably know that as good as you know your own bedroom or whatever. But it sent him to the principal's office and told him what happened. He laughed too. And he said, now don't you do it again. Well, the next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was. I told her it was chicken. Then she asked all the students why they gave the answer they did. When it came my turn, I told her it was because you can turn them into fried chicken. She didn't like it very much. The kids laughed again, and she sent me back to the principal's office. He laughed and told me, don't do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked us all to tell her what famous person we most admired. I told her, Colonel Sanders. Guess where I am now? Well, there you go. That's the way it happens. I'm telling you. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to the book of, I've got three places that I want you to mark on your or hold in your Bible. Be ready. Stick a bulletin in there or a pencil or your thumb or something. I'm going to look at, first of all, at Revelation chapter 20. Secondly, at John chapter 3. And thirdly, at Acts chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 20 is where we'll begin tonight. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to begin reading. Oh, I'll begin reading in about verse number 11. So if you would, let's stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll start with Revelation 11. You'll have time to turn to John and to Acts later on. I'll give you plenty of time. Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20, beginning verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase used. Most of you probably have, but there are probably some that aren't. You hear preachers talking about one day you'll stand before that white throne judgment. Well, that's what this is talking about right here. It's talking about after a lost person dies, somebody hadn't been saved. Saved people don't have to go there. But lost people, when they die, if they've never trusted Christ, they've got to go stand before Almighty God at a great white throne to be judged by God, to be cast into hell. Listen to what it says. It says, I saw the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, verse 12. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight you'll speak to our hearts. I pray not one person will leave this building tonight, will leave this room tonight, headed for that lake of fire, headed for an eternal hell, separated from God, facing a white throne judgment where there's no help and no hope, where they'll forever be lost. Oh God, please, I pray that if there's anyone in this room tonight that's not 100% sure that they have a home in heaven when they die, I pray that tonight will be the night where they'll say, by the grace of God, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, we got a lot of people in America today, in all kinds of denominations and churches, and even churches just like this, who are playing church. They're going through the motions. They know how to sing the songs. They know the terminology. They're friendly people, but they're not saved. They've never truly received Christ as their Savior. And I pray that if there's one person like that, whether they're teenagers, whether they're adults, senior adults, little children, whoever they are, anywhere in between, men, women, it doesn't matter. Oh, God, I pray You'd save them. And Father, we thank You for what You're going to do. And Lord, I pray that every one of us who are Christians, God, somehow ignite our hearts on fire with a passion for souls. Lord, there are neighbors and friends and loved ones that many, the vast majority of which are not in this room tonight. And they need the Savior. Lord, some of these kids have moms and dads. They have parents or brothers and sisters that are unsaved. If they die in that condition, they'll go to hell. And Lord, these kids could make a difference in their life. God, give them the courage to do it. Sometimes they pretend they have courage about all kinds of things. But Lord, I pray You give them the courage to stand up for Almighty God. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Lord, help this church to have a zeal for souls. Thank You, dear Lord, for the pastor and his wife and the 33 years You've given them here and how You've used them in such a wonderful way to build a congregation of people over 200 and seeing people saved and having a facility like this that's paid for. And Lord, it's just amazing what You've done. But Lord, we're not done yet. We're not home yet. Oh, God, help us. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you on this subject tonight. Listen very carefully. I want to speak to you on this subject tonight. 3 seconds to eternity. 3 seconds to eternity. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You'll get it as I go. Number one, I want to talk to you about the second death. The second death. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you know, the Bible says that every one of us are sinners. Did you know that? The Bible says there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Bible says that we've all missed the mark. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners. Bible says it. It's very plain. And the Bible goes on to say that there's a payment for sin, that our sin has to be paid for. The Bible says very clearly, listen, it says the wages of sin is death. Repeat that with me if you would. Say it out loud together with me. Ready? The wages of sin is death. Say it again. The wages of sin is death. Ladies and gentlemen, what we deserve because we're sinners is death. And he's not just talking about physical death. Everybody faces that. The cemeteries out here are a testimony to the fact everybody in this room is on the road to death. We're all going to die someday. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. And he said the wages of sin is death. He's not just talking about the first death. We're all dying. He's talking about the second death. And right here in this passage of Scripture, God says there's a place called hell. It's an awful place where there's fire, where there's torment. The Scripture talks about hell being a place where the worm never dies, where the fire is not quenched. Where the Bible says the smoke of their torment goes up forever and forever. Oh, what an awful place. And God loves us. He never intended anybody to go there. And yet those without Christ, that's exactly where they're headed. And the Bible calls it not just death, but the second death. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, he's talking about that second death. We're all going to die physically one day. And then we're going to have to face God. And if we've not been saved, then we'll be consigned to an eternal hell, to the prison of hell forever with the devil and his angels. And where there's pain and anguish forever and forever. Bible says death and hell, verse 14 of the passage we read, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, that's anybody, everybody, who was not found written in the book of life. If you haven't been saved and had your name written down in the book of life, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, when I say the book of life, I'm not talking about the church role. Joining the church will not save you. I'm not talking about getting baptized. Getting baptized will not save you. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. You turn over a new leaf, it just gets dirty on the other side. I'm not talking about living a good life or trying to do good deeds and get your good to outweigh your bad. That's not what God said. He said there's still a penalty for your sin, and all of you are sinners. As a result of that, everyone owes that penalty. I mean, so somehow or another, you're either going to die and go to hell to pay your sin debt, or you're going to have to find someone to pay it for you. Well, who's going to pay it for me? I could go see Brother Schelling. I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I need somebody to pay for my sins. Would you pay for my sins? Hey, there's a big problem here. He's a sinner too. He can't pay for my sins. He's got his own sins to deal with. He can't even pay for them. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The second death. 3 seconds to eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not only a second death, but I've got good news for you. There's a remedy for it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Listen to what it says. But the gift of God. Listen, I love this. I like getting gifts, don't you? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, isn't that wonderful? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to go to the second passage of Scripture that I talked about. John chapter number three. Where am I going here? I'm so excited to see all these young people here tonight. I can't hardly contain myself. Man, I love young people. But the Bible says, I love old people too. I am one. You know, it's all you in-betweeners, you know. It's you tweeners I'm not sure about. Yeah, no, just kidding. But the Bible says, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice this second birth. Look at this. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. See, we already talked about there is a second death. And everybody faces that second death unless they get God's remedy. And God's remedy is a second birth. Heard a preacher say it like this once. Hey, everybody who's born only once has to die twice. They face the second death. But everybody's been born twice. If they get born again, they've been born twice, they only have to die once. Born twice, die once. Born only once, die twice. But that second death is eternal separation from God. That second birth is entrance into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, a Pharisee was one of the religious rulers. I want you to understand this, in case you don't get it. The Pharisees was kind of like, in our modern day terminology, if it was a Baptist situation, he'd be one of the church leaders, probably on the staff. I mean, he was somebody that everybody admired, looked up to. He was a religious person. He was a leader. He taught the Word of God. He memorized the Bible. He came to church 3 times a day to pray. He gave his money. He was something. You look at him and you say, boy, if anybody's going to make it, he's going to make it. If anybody's going to heaven, he's going to heaven. Look how religious he is. And the Bible says he came to Jesus by night. You know why he came by night? He didn't want anybody to know he was coming to Jesus. He was ashamed that he was interested in Jesus. You know, there are people, maybe some right here in this room, that you would really, I mean, in your heart of hearts, if nobody was around, you would really like to know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you'd like to get to know Him, you'd like to love Him, you'd like to try to live for Him, but you're afraid what other people are going to think. And so you sort of try to be cool and put it off. Or you say, well, I'm a member of this church. What are people going to think about me? I'll just try to do it privately by myself. And somehow that just never works. You never get it settled. Never get it settled. You didn't try that over and over and over again. But somehow you just can't let go and let God. And young people, same thing. Well, what would everybody think? Well, people make fun of me. Well, my parents. Well, what's somebody? You know what? That's what this guy's problem was. He came, he was a religious leader. He didn't want to admit that he was interested in what Jesus had to offer. So he came by night to Jesus and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, listen to this, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, Nicodemus, this little Pharisee, he said, now wait a minute, hold on here, time out. Let's think about this, Jesus. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water You know, there's a water birth. Did you know, like, for example, maybe some of you are aware of this, maybe some of you are not. Maybe I'm getting too far ahead in sex education here with little kids or whatever. But when a mama gets right to the point where she's ready to give birth to that child, her water breaks. And that's the fleshly birth. And that's what's called. They call it the water breaking. And that means it's time to go to the hospital. The baby's on the way. We got to get it. And he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh, he says there's two births. One is of the water, the other is of the Spirit. He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the water birth. That's the first birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's spiritual birth. He said, Nicodemus, you not only have to be born physically, become a human being and have a life, but if you're going to go to heaven, you also need to be born spiritually, because spiritually you're dead, and as a sinner you're already headed for hell. You need to get born again into the family of God. Boy, that's important. Get born again. Get born again. Have you been born again? If Brother Ed was taking a poll as you go out the door and you couldn't leave unless you told him where you were when you got born again and what the circumstance was, would you have to stay all night? Or sit and think for a minute, try to make up something? Or do you know for sure that you have been born again? Have you experienced the second birth? I'm telling you this, if you haven't experienced the second birth, you're headed straight for this second death. Hey, boy, that's a big deal. That's important. Everybody in this room needs to know for sure, not only that you have that not only that you've been born the first time, but that you've had that second birth, or else you're facing that second death, 3 seconds to eternity. Oh, how important. Jump on down with me, if you would. Look at John chapter 3, verse 15. Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish in that second death, will not spend eternity in that lake of fire. But whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Verse 16, John 3:16. Hey, read that aloud together with me. If you got your Bible open, if you don't, listen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll read on. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come here to condemn us, to condemn you, to tell you how bad you are. That's one of the problems we have today. I think the reason a lot of people turn away from God, they think everybody's just out to get them. Everybody's just down on them. Everybody's on their case. I want to tell you something. Everybody else in this world may be down on you, but Almighty God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. He's not down on you. He's high on you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be in heaven with Him. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to rescue you from eternal hell. He said, look, you don't have to die and go to hell. He said, you don't have to face that second death, because I'm making available to you a second birth. You can get a fresh start. All your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. He said in verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, senior adults. I don't know about you, boys and girls. I don't know about you, teenagers. I don't want the wrath of God abiding on me. I want the love of God. I want to experience that love. And He loves us so much that He's made available His precious Son. Number one is the second death. Number two is the second birth. Acts chapter 1 is the third one. That's where I got mixed up. Acts 1, Romans 3, Romans 1, Acts 3, whatever. But it's Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Number one is the second death. Number two is the second birth. Number three, I said 3 seconds to eternity. Number three is the second coming. My friend, Jesus loved us. Listen to this. He loved us. He came to this old gory earth, left the glory of heaven, came down to this gory earth, was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger, grew up, lived a perfect sinless life, never committed sin. Only man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the only man who ever walked on this planet and lived a life and never committed one sin. The Bible says He was tempted in every manner, even as we, and yet without sin. He never sinned. He's the only one who had the right that if He had just died a normal death like everybody else, He could have gone straight to heaven because He didn't deserve to go to hell. But you know what He does? What He did? There on Calvary's cross, He bore our sins in His own body. Every wicked thing you ever did, every evil thought you ever had, every dirty word you ever said, every lie, every cheat, every ounce of meanness, everything, all that ungodliness, all the things that we've done, that little white lie and the big black lie, whatever it is, whatever, all that we've done, all of it, past, present, and future, was heaped on Jesus that day. The Bible says this, He became, He who knew no sin, He knew no sin, He had never sinned. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took my place. I want to tell you something. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell right now. I'd be in hell as sure as I'm talking to you. But Jesus took my place. He bore my sin. And He offered me that free gift of eternal life. And by faith, I trusted Him as my Savior. He came into my life, and He saved me. And you know what? I can look back, and I can say, you know what? I haven't been a perfect Christian, but I've had a perfect Savior. Amen. I haven't done everything right, but I can tell you this. I can look back, and I can say, you know what? Jesus led me all the way, and He never made one mistake. I made a bunch of them. I made a truckload of them. But you see, who deserved the second death, instead had gotten the second birth and been born into the family of God. And now I'm looking forward to the second coming of Christ when He comes to receive His bride. Hey, let me go back up here and read from the book of Acts chapter 1. And listen what He said. He said, beginning in verse number 6, Bible says, when therefore they were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Let me show you the picture. Jesus had died on the cross. They buried Him. 3 days later, He arose. He had victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. You go to hell for your sins, you'll never come back. But He arose. He had victory over sin, victory over death, victory over hell. And He was alive, and He spent some time with His disciples and with others and was teaching them. And after a number of days, it was time for Him to go on back to heaven. And so they'd all gathered there, and they said, hey, are you gonna set up your kingdom right now? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. He says, it's God has a plan, and He's not ready to pull the trigger on His plan yet, and He's not going to tell you when it's going to happen. He said, it's not for you to know the times. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, let me just put a little parenthesis in here and remind you of something. Notice what He said there. He said, really, it's none of your business when God is going to bring this whole thing together. But you can mark it down. It's going to happen. God's going to bring it all together. And I will return. He said, meanwhile, back on earth, I have a job for you to do. Meanwhile, He said that God wants to empower you with the Spirit of God and then send you out to the highways and hedges, the streets and lanes of the city, to compel them to come in He said, I want you to be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's everywhere. Everywhere. He said, that's your job. That's your assignment. That's what I'm leaving you there to do. I'm not leaving you there to go to church on Sunday and have feel-good services, although it ought to feel good to do what you're supposed to be doing. But the reason I'm leaving you there is because there's a world that's going to hell, and I want you in the workplace and in the marketplace and in the places of recreation and wherever you go and whatever you do, in the home place and on the street where you live and in the school where you attend. I want you to be a witness for me. Tell others. Help keep them out of hell. Help them to have the second. He's talking to those who've had the second birth. He said, my plan for you is to help somebody else come to Jesus. I wonder how many of you young people, there's been a time in your life, listen to this, hey, listen up. How many of you young people say there's been a time in my life where I trusted Christ as my Savior? Hey, young man, hey, wake up. How many can say, preacher, there's been a time in my life where I trusted Christ as my Savior? Let's see, how many can say that? All right? A big hunk of you. God bless you. I'm glad for you. Have you told somebody else? Have you tried to bring a friend to Jesus? Do you have the courage to do it? Do you have the courage to do it? See, we look at these athletes, and we look at these movie stars. We look at these hip hoppers and all that, and we think, boy, that's a hero. They are a zero. Because all they're singing about and living for is alcohol and drugs and sex and death and ruining their lives. And many of them end up dying from overdoses and or killing somebody or spending their life in prison or whatever else. What is that all about? That's not hero. That's zero. God has something better than that for you. If you'd have enough courage. If you'd have enough courage to stand up for Him instead of trying to prove your courage by being a jerk somewhere, by giving your teacher at school a hard way to go. I know one of your teachers. He's the grandpa of three of my grandkids. I got 12 grandkids. A lot of you have him in your class. Mr. Fight, tell him I said hey. And I know how kids are at school. I went to school once. You know, you gotta be cool. I did go to school once. What are you laughing about? Come over here and clean your plow. Like I didn't go to school. I went to school. I'm not saying I learned a whole lot. I'm just saying I went to school. But I know how kids are, and trying to impress their friends, and don't want their friends to think that they're trying to be too cool or whatever. You know. And by the way, you guys are doing great tonight. I love you. Thank the Lord for you. Just hang in there. Tomorrow night, just double the crowd. I don't care. Bring twice as many. The preacher's got to buy the pizza. So it's a good deal. It sounds like a good deal to me. Do you see this thing? You either get the second birth or you get the second death. If you get the second birth, then God said, I have a job for you to do while you're here. Amen. Until you have that first, till the first death comes, I've got something I want you to do. You say, well, I just think God's finished with me. No, He's not finished with you. You'd be gone. Okay. If He hadn't signed your death warrant, then undoubtedly He's still got something for you to do. Amen. I just want to know, what are you going to do? Are you going to play church? Are you going to get serious about asking God to give you wisdom and insight and tools or whatever it is to be a witness to the people who are in your circle of influence, whatever that circle might be? Ask God for wisdom to do it. By the way, I didn't finish on purpose over in the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'll go back and begin at verse 11. He said, ye men, these two men stood by them in white apparel, and verse 11 says, which also said, here were these two angels, I guess, these angel-like men. They were there, and Jesus was ascending up into heaven, going back to His Father, going back to His heavenly home, and whatever. And the Bible says, they said, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" These two men in white apparel there. They said, "Why are you standing there gazing?" Can you imagine this? Anybody ever, how many of you have ever let a balloon go, a helium-filled balloon, you let it go, and you watch that thing, and you watch it, and you watch it, and you watch it, and it becomes like a little speck, and you're watching it. He's like, "I think I still see it." Anybody ever done that? Man, I've done that many times in my lifetime. I've been alive so long, I've done almost everything several times. But I watched that thing. You just watch it. I can just imagine these folks as Jesus is ascending up and heading into those clouds. And when he went through that first layer of the thin clouds, they thought, "I can still." And they're just gazing. They're looking, and there's a break in the clouds. Maybe we can see and look. And they're looking and looking. And these two men in white apparel standing there. They said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." They said, "He's coming again. There's going to be a second coming." Second death, second birth, second coming. 3 seconds to eternity. John chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus said, he said at the beginning there in verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is when he was getting ready to die and give his life for us. He was talking to his disciples. He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions," talking about heaven. He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I've never lied to you before. I'm not lying to you now. This is a real place." And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," listen to what he said, "I will come again to receive you unto myself." I don't know about you, but I believe God. I believe Jesus is coming again. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that this book was the Word of God and that God's going to fulfill everything He promised us in this book, I'd never preach another sermon. I just believe God. I believe God. Are you ready for that second coming of Christ, Christians? I talked to the lost when I talked about the second death and the second birth. And boy, that's important. Most of the people in this room have trusted Christ somewhere along the way. But what about that second coming? Are you ready? If Jesus were to return tonight, if you knew that Jesus was coming at midnight, would you say, "Hurry up, preacher, get this over with. I've got some things I've got to do. I've got to go to the bank. I've got to find some way to make a withdrawal from the bank because I'm way behind in my giving. I need to take care of business. Hey, there's this neighbor. There's this person I work with. I've been intending to talk to him about the Lord. Hey, there's this other friend that I've got there at school. I know I've been saved, but I've been kind of ashamed to let anybody know. But I've got to go tell my friend. I don't want him to go to hell." I mean, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are we waiting for? When are we going to do what God left us here to do? Wow. You see, there really is a second death. There really is a place called hell. People without Christ are really going to go there forever and forever. My daughter was on the way to work yesterday, coming out of Louisville on Interstate 71, heading toward this direction. And she came upon something. The police weren't even there yet. There was an ambulance there, I think, by that time, maybe two. And a van had flipped up and was like upside down. Here was this mother, and she had a couple of other passengers, I'm assuming, maybe a couple of kids. She was probably taking them to school. I'm not sure what the story is there. And they said it threw her out of the van and she was dead. And the other two that were in the van couldn't get out. I'm assuming they were probably strapped in their seats and stuck in there upside down in the thing. And the fireman had to get them out. And this mother, I'm assuming, had a baby in her belly. And the baby died too. Her and the baby both died. Look, that morning she got up. She was rushing around. She was busy. She said, "Oh, we've got to do this. Come on, hurry up, kids. You're making us late. Let's get in the car. Here we go." She had done this 1,000 times. She had driven down this road. It was just like any other day. And she was hurrying off to school. But then something tragically went wrong. I don't know if a tire blew out or a rock hit the window or she just got distracted or somebody ran her off the road. I don't know what happened, but she did. Just like that. You have no promise of tomorrow. He said, well, the Lord may not return for another 100 years. That's right, but you're not going to be around when he does if it's another 100 years. Everybody in this room will already be gone, and one by one, we're going out to meet God. Young and old alike. There's probably not a teenager in this room who don't know somebody that died as a young person. I know I had way too many funerals with baby caskets. Folks, we've got to get serious. We don't have forever. We've got to keep pressing on. We've got to keep doing the work. 3 seconds to eternity. I want us to bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed with Christ right here with us. I want to ask a couple of questions. I wonder who's here tonight. You say, Brother Lonnie, I am saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm not ashamed of it. I know that Jesus Christ lives in my heart. I'm ready for heaven. I'm as ready for heaven as if I were already there. If the trumpet sounded tonight and Jesus were to return to take us out of here, I know that I'm one that would go. I know I've been saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. How many can say that tonight? Would you slip your hand up? How many can say it? Preacher, I know I've been saved. Thank you. You can take your hands down. Nobody looking now. Nobody moving around unnecessarily. Just the pastor and myself. We're the only ones looking. And I wonder who'd say here tonight, you'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I am saved. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. You say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I am saved, but I'd sure like to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to just play church. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want it to be real in my life. Preacher, pray for me. I want to be saved. Would you slip your hand up? Who'd say it tonight? Slip it up. God bless you. I see 3, 4, 5, 6 hands there. Who else? Who else? Preacher, pray for me. Thank you. You may take them down. Take them down. God bless you. There's another. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Who else? Preacher, I'm not sure of heaven, but I want to be sure. I want to be saved. I don't care what anybody else says, what anybody else does. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to have that second death. I want to have the second birth. And when Jesus does return, I want to be happy to see him, not scared to see him. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure, but I want to be. Pray for me. Slip your hand up a moment where I can see it. All right, God bless you. Let me ask another question. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Hang on to that thought. I wonder who's here tonight, and you'd say, yes, preacher, I'm saved. But I'm not really doing some of the things I ought to be doing. I'm not trying to help other people get ready for heaven. I'm not trying to help other people know about the second birth and how God can change their life and how he could help them. And I want to know about that. I want to know about it. I want to be involved in it. I want to help my friends and my loved ones and my neighbors and my coworkers and my classmates and my enemies even. I want to be used of God. I don't want to see people die and go to hell. I want to do my job as a Christian. I'm not saying you're a wicked, vile person, but in all honesty, if you could say in your own heart of hearts, I know I'm not really satisfied with my level of involvement in this matter of trying to reach others, and I don't really think God is pleased, and I want to do better. I want God to help me do a better job. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? How many say it all over the room? God bless you. God bless you. Oh, scores of hands. God bless you. Thank you. You may take them down. Who's here tonight? You'd say, Preacher, I have someone that's unsaved. Someone specifically comes to my mind. I told you every service I can't help it. I've got to talk about this because I've got so many people on my own heart, people in my own family, and then people in my circle of friends and people that I know that are unsaved. And I wonder how many would join me tonight saying, Preacher, there's somebody that I care about, maybe a coworker or a neighbor or somebody. I'm not saying that they're lost or that they're saved. I'm not really sure, but I know they're not walking with the Lord. I know they need the Lord either to get right with God as a Christian or to get saved as an unsaved person. And there's somebody on my heart. Pray with me for them. Would you slip your hand up? How many have somebody like that tonight? God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you've seen every hand. You know every heart. Lord, I know I preached a hard sermon tonight. And Lord, I'm not mad at anybody. I love these folks. And I love you. And Lord, I want to see people get stirred up for God. And Lord, I want to see unsaved people get under conviction about their sin, knowing that they don't deserve heaven, but knowing that God loves them and wants to give them heaven. And Lord, help them to come to him tonight. Lord, several raised their hands and said, "Preacher, I want to be saved." Give them the courage tonight to come to the pastor or myself and just say, I want to be saved. And we'll have someone just pray with them in a quiet and private way, and they can settle that matter tonight. And Lord, help the Christians to come pray for their loved ones. And Lord, many of them that are praying for their loved ones could also pray for themselves at the same time to say, "Lord, I know I haven't arrived. I know I need to grow in this matter. God, help me to do it." Lord, help us, please. We give you the praise. We thank you and we love you. Will you look right here at me just a moment? Here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, music's going to begin to play. When it does, we'll all stand our feet. Altar's open. If you have someone you're praying for, or if God's spoken to your heart about a need in your own life, I want you to come there. If you need to be saved, if you need Christ as your Savior, I want you to come to either the preacher or me. And there's folks here to help you. We can pray with you. We can settle this matter tonight. Will you let God have His way in your life? While we stand together, while the music begins to play, will you come right now? Come on, right now. That's right. God bless you, son. Come on, right now. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Preacher, come help us. Amen. Here, a couple more men, help us.
Anyone else, while we wait just a moment or two, if God's speaking to you, you come. If you have someone you want to come pray for, somebody that's not saved, or if you're not sure you're saved, you come. We'll have one of the men, one of the ladies talk with you. Anyone else, while we wait just for a moment or two before we finish, God's speaking to you, come and settle it tonight. Anyone else? Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. Thank you for challenging us as we think about the second death and the second birth and the second coming. And Lord, I pray that every person here tonight, when we leave, will know for sure that they're saved and born again and will not have to experience that second death, but will get to be a part of that second coming when we go home to be with you. And Lord, so many of us have loved ones and friends who are lost, and I pray that you'll burden our hearts and don't let us lose that burden or lose our tears and our compassion. Help us to pray for them and love them and witness to them and do our best to win them to you. And do it even now, even tonight and tomorrow. And just help us to be faithful to you to share your gospel with them. Thank you again for speaking to us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I ask our ushers to come and help us tonight with the offering. And we may have some of our guys out counseling with folks, so we may have to recruit a couple of people to come help us with the offering. And we invite you to join us this evening and have a part in that offering tonight. Our offering this evening, once again, will be a love offering for our evangelist, Brother Lonnie. We're delighted that he is here, he and his wife, and they've been a great blessing to us already. And I want to encourage you to give as the Lord would bless you and as He would enable you to be a part of this offering tonight. You give what what God would have you do. Let's everybody do something and have a part in the offering tonight. Let's see if we got one more person we need to get over here on this side. John, can you come help us, brother, if you don't mind? Thank you, sir. That way we'll have enough guys for the sides of each of the aisles and be able to. They're going to have so much money that we need all the help we can get to carry it.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Let's bow our heads together in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. Brother Larry Robinson, would you come and lead us in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on this offering?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the few days that we've had with Brother Mattingly, and we just pray you continue to bless him, continue to bless his ministry, and Lord, that you would just use him in a mighty way. We just see how you've used him here already, and we praise you and thank you for that. And what a shame it would be for someone to come here and hear this kind of preaching and walk out not knowing you as their personal Savior. So, Father, we pray that you'd speak to every heart, every person, whether it be a young person, an older person, Lord, just deal with them. And the ones that they're dealing with right now, we pray, Lord, that you would have your will in your way. We continue to pray for Kiara, continue to watch over her and Kendra and the family, Lord, just watch over them. And, Lord, that you would just touch them and uplift them and encourage them. And we're thankful, Lord, that we have a Savior that knows us, he loves us, he cares for us, and he wants to meet every need we have. And so many times we have not because we ask not. We ask that you bless this offering, use it for your honor and glory, not just in this community, but throughout the entire world. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Noemi. We appreciate that. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Let me ask you, after we close in prayer, for all of those of you who are involved in the choir, to come right up quickly for just a short, brief practice. And if you're not in the choir, but you'd like to join them, if you can sing, we'd love to have you. Got one more night, and come and be a part of that right after we close in prayer tonight. Again, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to stop by the tables out there. Brother Lonnie has a table, and Brother Ed as well, and look at the materials there, and be sure and pay for what you take, and get some good music and some good reading material as well. Take that along with you. Brother David Irby, would you come, please, sir, and lead us in our closing prayer tonight?
Father, we come before you thanking you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your many blessings and your love to us. And thank you for your Son dying on the cross for our sins, as Brother Mattingly talked about tonight. We thank you for speaking to our hearts and the decisions that were made tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you guide and direct in our lives. And Father, we just pray that you'll meet each and every need that's represented here in this room. And Lord, we just pray that you'll string us, guide us, help us to be back tomorrow in our appointed time and place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.